You might want to turn, if you would, to the book of Galatians. And in our exercise of late, and looking at the indispensable, you can't do without it, ministry of the Spirit of God. He makes it all of God's person, all of God's saving grace, real. About it, apart from him, we're just in the presence of the invisible God, and we're stuck. So in the light of that, so when we came as Spirit of God, looking just a general way through the pages of God's word, and in the times, and the Spirit of God is mentioned 41 times. So as you turn the pages, he's there, he's there, he's always there, making it all work. Now, and in Galatians is a special exercise for us to consider in the light of God's works, in the light of our works, God's workmanship and his works, and our works, thus. So, to get a little flavor of it ahead, if you just think going back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before they sinned, what did they do? What did Adam and Eve do to earn or to merit or anything? They were receivers. That's all. They didn't make the garden. They didn't keep the garden. They were given the assignment to manage it, but they didn't keep it. It was all given by God. How much did Adam and Eve do? Zero. It was all God's doing. God created them, God kept them, God would keep them, they were perfect. All God's doing. Zero when it came to them. Now, in the light of that. So, keeping that in mind, if you would, now go to Abraham and tell me what Abraham did to have God's favor. You're thinking? What did Abraham do? That's right. Nothing. God. All Abraham did was receive. He believed God in the land of idolatry, in a time of great idolatry, after the Genesis flood. after that. So, what did Abraham do? He did nothing. And in fact, to show you that he understood that in Genesis 14, chapter 14, etc. And Sodom, and remember the five kings, took the king of Sodom and took him up prisoner and did all of that. And Abraham and his 318 and whatever it was, men, trained men, and a few others to help, went up and defeated the five kings, and went and did everything. And in the process, coming back, they remember Sodom, king of Sodom, offered him all the loot, not the people, but all the everything that he took, kept in bounty, and gave out. And Abraham, you remember, said, "I don't even want a shoelace from you. I don't even want one shoelace, not one." And God turns around in the next statement and says, "I am thy exceeding great reward. Walk before me and be perfect." 17:1, 15:1. That's what he did. He did nothing. What did Abraham, what do you remember what Isaac did? Do you remember what Jacob did? He did a whole lot to make it bumpy for his journey, but he ended up being just like Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all they were is receivers, and they just received over and over again God's saving grace. Now, having said that, when we come to Moses, Moses is the same. At Mount Sinai, the people of Israel were to what? Exodus 19, they were to what? Chapter 4, 5, verse 4, 5, 6. They were to take what everyone else has done before them, to allow God to be their God. He would make them a special people above all the nations and all the people of the earth. He would make them special. They were his nation, his vehicle. And that's always just like Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. All they had to do was say, thank you. That's all they had to do. And God would have done everything. But they did not approach it that way. No one else approached God that way. What do you mean? All the other nations, chapter 10, Genesis, thereafter, all of them had their idolatry, their politic, disconnected from God. So therefore, all of those nations doing what they did it. What were they doing? They substituted for God idolatry. And they worshiped the sun, the moon, the stars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they did all of these things. And they were going to do them. Why are we going to do them? We have a replacement for God. We have to have a replacement. We know God exists, and we got to have a replacement. So therefore, we have our beliefs, our gods. And therefore, God, you have your God, we'll have our gods. So, having done that, so that's system. You got that? That's called the works. Works. When did it start? Way, way back. We got to have some way, because we know there's a God. If we don't recognize God, that's different, we'll see that in a minute. But since we recognize there's a God, we'll have to have God on our own terms. So we have God on our own terms. And therefore, we're able to worship God and honor God by our system. And that's why we have sacrifices. That's why we sacrifice humans. That's why even the Jews did it, the children. Why? To honor God, sacrifice. We merit, we earn, we get your favor of get the favor of the gods. That's what we do. And we do something called works to get the favor. Now, having said that half a cent's worth, so you got that a little bit. That's what we do. We have to do that. Got to have something. We can't just have a sense of God and not have some way, because somehow we know we answer to God. And we don't want to. Got to have something. Got to have some religion of some kind. Hang on. Now, that's a long way to say Galatians chapter 1. And here we are looking, and in Galatians the Spirit of God is mentioned 16 times. 16 times in those little chapters. Wow. So, having said that, and Galatians involves, among other things, the Gnostics, the legalism works. That's what it does. Gnostics, think of the Greek, the word in knowledge. We know God. We know God. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, we're learning. The other word, know, is you know automatically. You know you're you. You don't learn about it, you just know it. Just absolute, clear, I know. This word, to know, Gnostics, Gnosticism. Therefore, what do we have? Well, we have knowledge, the knowledge. In the Greek world, it was very popular at that time in history. And the Greeks, Gnostics, and people had knowledge. We have knowledge. You all have knowledge of Zeus, Jupiter, or some other god, Mercury. And I have special knowledge of Mercury. So you people that look to worship Mercury, I have a special insight into Mercury. So you look to me, because I have special knowledge about Mercury that you don't, and you want to learn from me. So, and thus the Gnosticism. Different people, rose up different kinds of groups to have special knowledge of yoga or some other thing so that you get involved. And because they have some, that's why we go to these, anyway, different things, because we want to have. Gnosticism was very active. Gnosticism was involved, and they were, think of the word Judaism. Judaism. And the Jews were busy, what? Trying to keep the law. That's what they were doing. Why are we trying to keep the law? To answer to God. Well, why don't you look to Christ? Because we don't believe. So we've got to earn merit, deserve. You've got to give me notice, because see who I am. See what I'm doing. Pharisees, Sadducees. See what we're doing. See how we're doing it. Aha. Right. That's what we got. That's the world. So Galatians is written to zero in on this business of the law and works. Because the Jews were saying, well, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus, some were saying, but that isn't enough. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus plus adhere to the law in some form, circumcision or something. You've got to be doing certain things. You can't just look to God. You can, but then you need to know, you need to have something that merits or brings his favor to your heart. So, in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and in chapter 1, picking up, please, and as you know, in Galatians, it works, merit, earn, grace, and law. That's what we're looking at. So now, and in the process, Galatians 1, picking up, please, in verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Remember the gospel, the good news, Christ died, buried, and rose again according to scriptures, and that is made real to us as we read the New Testament, especially the book of Romans, etc. But what is the good news? The good news is Christ died for you, he was buried, and he rose again, and all of the wonderful truth of these epistles, your relationship to God in Christ. So, who has removed you from that understanding? Verse 7. which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or another angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then it's going to double down on it. You'll see it if we can just get there in the process. He doubles down on the seriousness of this business, because works keep you from being saved in the system. It's possible in the system, you miss it. You'll miss the whole grace of God with works. Grace will not accommodate in any way, shape, or form works. Your works. No flesh shall what? Glory in your presence. Zero. And God hates legalism, the works. He hates it. Despises it. I don't want to get sidetracked. That's the system out here. So, verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Double down. It's a bad, bad thing. And you'll catch it. I don't jump ahead. For I am now persuaded. For now I persuade men. For do I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For I have yet pleased men. For if I have yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'm not trying to make everybody happy and tell them how they can have make a journey through time and be comfortable and happy. I don't want to do that. And therefore, Paul says why. He says, I'm saved by God's grace, verse 11, but I certify unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. That's how he got saved. The Lord Jesus interrupted his journey. And sliding down, as you know, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal. How did you get saved, Paul? To reveal his son. Where? In me. That's how I know I'm saved. He that hath the Son hath life. That's why I knew I was saved. Christ was in me. That's how you know you're saved or you're not saved. That's simple as that. Now, the heathen, immediately, and among the heathen, immediately I confer not with flesh and blood. Now, keeping that in mind in God's wonderful working and outworking of what he was doing, over if I can, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, you'll note, I'll read verse 1 simply for context. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How did you get saved? What did you do to get saved? You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior. That's how you became a new creature. It wasn't by anything you did or didn't do. You didn't do one thing. God did the whole, everything. And you didn't merit it. You didn't earn it. You just believed the gospel and received Christ as your Savior. That's what you did. So, verse 3, after, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? You aren't going to do it. You aren't going to do it. It took God to start. It took God to do it. And now you're going to add something to it? You're going to make it work? You're never going to make it work. All you're going to do is louse up the whole thing. Because God is not happy with your works. He's not happy with your flesh. In fact, he crucified it. That's the good news. He crucified it. So are you so foolish? Foolish. Your old sin nature doesn't make for life, doesn't make any life. Your old sin nature doesn't do anything. And it can't make grace better. Well, it's good to be saved, but then add something. You don't add anything to make it better. All you have to do, let's say it a different way. When you get saved, you aren't going to make something better. What you're going to do, you're going to learn to trust God, who has made it all better, period. That's what you're going to do. You aren't going to add anything. God's going to make it better. No, he isn't going to make it better. It's all done. It's all done. So, why are you so foolish? Sliding down, if I can, in verse 5. He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How does he do it? How does he do it? By faith, not by works of the law. No works of the law will ever work. No. And you want the blessing of God without turning there, Deuteronomy 28, and you have all chapter 27, 28. And when you go to chapter 28, what do you have? You have what? God's blessing. First 15 verses. You have God's blessing. What do you have to do to have all that blessing? Do everything. I pay attention to all that I've given in my word. Do this. Follow my commandments. Keep my word. But we're trying to do it. We want it. We earn it. We understand what you're saying, God. But we're trying. We're doing something by our system. And you don't get the blessing of God because the law, you got to keep the word. Therefore, Jews back then, keeping the law. They're trying to keep the law. That's what they're doing. But you aren't keeping the law. You aren't knowing the blessing of God. One of the ones we know of, you can think of, is David. David understood Deuteronomy 28. And God blessed his going out and his coming in. Why, David? Why you, David? You're a Jew. You're the king. Why you? Because God, David, did what that the people generally didn't do. David went and sought God with his whole heart. And God measures the kings based on David. You weren't like your father, David. You didn't believe like David. David's standard for that. He gave his heart. He wasn't interested. He didn't say, God, I'll go kill Goliath, and you can help me. He didn't say that. He just said God's name was at stake, and he dared to go out and did what he did in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, verse 5, etc. So when we go to chapter 3, over to verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. blessing. Not by law. You don't get blessed that way. that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that purpose we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We're going to trust God. God has the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. He's the Spirit of grace. He's going to go and make it all wonderfully, wonderfully practical, possible in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And you know the Spirit of God. And how did you get the Spirit of God? What did you do to earn the Spirit of God? How's that? What did you do to get the Spirit of God? You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were letting God be God in all of his fullness. You were doing zero. You were just allowing God to be God. That's all. And you got saved. When you got saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way, so therefore, the Spirit of God, when you receive Christ as your Savior, John chapter 14 and chapter 14, 16, 17, what are you going to do, God? The Lord Jesus Christ said, when you receive me as your Savior, I am going to fulfill and make possible all of the wonderful work and truth in my creating you and saving you. I'm going to make all of that possible. I'm going to go to the cross and die. And then God, the Holy Spirit, John 14, 16, 17, I am going to give him to you. G-I-V-E. You're going to receive the gift of Christ. You're going to receive the gift of our Lord, of the Spirit of God. I am going to give him. I and my Father are going to give him to you. A gift. A gift. All of it's gift. The gift and then / grace. All of it is of God. Nothing of ye, of you. Zero. Hang on, I'm trying to get it. So you see it. It's a, anyway, just have to be reminded of it. And therefore, as we read in chapter 4, picking up, please, now, and in chapter 4, picking up, please, and in, well, go to, well, verse, well, I'm going to move right, let me go right past that. Chapter 4, verse 29. And you recall, God uses an illustration of Mount Sinai and the law. And that's, you pick it up, you catch the flavor of it. Here, chapter 4, picking up verse 21. I tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, in other words, you want to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? The law is going to talk to you. Verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of by a hand bondmaid and the other by a free woman, Hagar, Ishmael. He's going to use the two sons as an illustration. And that's what you have in verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh, Ishmael by Hagar, persecuted, always persecution by the law, people that are working the law against those, against grace. The law, people that are trying to do things are against those that simply let God be God. Ishmael persecutes Isaac all the way through history, the Arabs, all the way through. It persecutes them. It hates them. Israel is saved, is God's people, like we shared in the beginning in Genesis, and that Israel is a people is there people that were saved by grace. That's how they were saved. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. They added the law. The law doesn't belong. It was just there to help them and keep them. So, if we can, let me just finish that little section in thought. Which things, verse 24, which things, I'll read verse 23 again. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman, Isaac and Sarah, was by promise. Verse 24, which things are an allegory for these, for it's an illustration. It's an illustration. God made all kinds of illustrations. Here's Ishmael and Isaac. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. As we said, there's the legal covenant of law and promise, Mosaic covenant. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered a bondage, which is Hagar, the mother. Verse 25. But this Hagar is Mount Zion, Sinai, in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with all her children. In other words, the Jews chose the law, the whole ball of them. They're all under the law. The law, the mother, houses them and keeps them. The law, what's keeping them? The law, which they can't do. Now, having said that, verse 27, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that beareth not, break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not. For the desolate hath many more children than she that hath an husband. Now, verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, so are the children of promise. So the law has all of the people, but you have to have an Isaac. An Isaac is by promise, by God's grace, in God's most wonderful way. So Isaac, flesh, no flesh shall help. No flesh shall help in any way. And legalism works the system. Ishmael persecutes, as we shared, Isaac. That's what it's going to do. So, and the Jews persecuted Paul. That's what they did. And therefore, and Paul warns them, chapter 5, he warns them. What's the system going to do if you get into the system of Judaism, etc.? Chapter 5, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. If you don't catch it, you're going by works. Are you good enough? I'm a little gooder than you are. I say, and we go comparison. Are you good enough? I at least do this, and someone else does this, and we do all of that stuff. And comparisons and cliques and groups. That's where it comes from. You want to fit into my group? You want to fit into my group? That's what we do. That's what you. And the Spirit of God says in Galatians 5, watch it, because you're going to get in trouble. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so it's not of works. You can't do it by works. You can't do it that way at all. And the works and system works, and we earn merit, deserve, whatever. And instead of what? God, do you want that? No. I just wanted you to have a simple, wonderful relationship to your Creator and your Savior. That's what I wanted you to have. I wanted you to exercise, experience, and enjoy why I created you. I just want you to know that. But, yeah, I do. It's all God said. I'm going to do it. I do the whole thing. I get all the credit in every way. Think of think of here, we mentioned the other day, Matthew 17 and that, the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter, James, and John see Moses and Elijah, the law, and the prophets, Moses, Elijah, the prophets. And the Peter, James, and John could say, wow, yeah, we're Jews. Yeah, we're Jews under the law. So, wow. Wow, there's Moses. There's the prophets. And they get upsided. And God, they were getting there. And God just put a cloud and erased them. He took Moses away and Elijah away. And chapter 17, verse 8. And they saw no man except Jesus Christ only. You're bringing the law. You're bringing the prophets. You're bringing something about you into the equation. And you don't want to do that. That's works. And we love it. And keep that in mind if you would. Why do we like it? Because it gives us something. And thus, without getting sidetracked again, the Spirit of God is grieved because we do that. So, and legalism work system is a religious passport to us. What do you mean? Well, religious people are the only people that are guilty of legalism works. Why are you working? To merit favor. With whom? God. In some form. Only religious people are religious. And they're religious up to their eyeballs in works. Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholicism. You just witnessed it. You just witnessed it. Works. No man except Jesus only. System works. We merit, we earn, we count the doojies. If you were background, I'm not, okay, whatever. And you count the beat, whatever you do, you know. And you bow down. And you crisscross. All of a sudden, you got it. A meriting. And we do it, believers, we do it. We don't mean to do it. We don't realize we're counting on our works. God, if I'd just done this, you would have blessed me. I just missed this. Why did I miss? I missed my reading this morning. That's why this happened. What did I just say? I missed the reading. My works. Something I did. That's your works. And it ruins the grace of God that is totally 1,000,000% you, God, plus nothing. It's so easy to do it, and we like it because we're working. Religion, it's up to here. We've got it all over the place. Religion's everywhere. All kinds of religions working. Protestants even busy working. I'm a righteous person. I'm very good. Remember the little old lady in the porch, and she was very good. Very good to the people coming by and gave us cookies and stuff, lemonade. But one day we came by and asked her if she knew the Lord as her Savior, has received the Lord as her Savior. And then she shook her finger. No, I don't talk about that. But I'm a good person. I do good. You see, system works. Works. Deadly. It's the best enemy the devil has. I mean, not the best enemy. The best way the enemy works to have effect is to get you caught up in works. something, you're not as bad as the other guy. You see, we do this, and we're caught up in it, and without even knowing it, we're missing out of God's grace. Am I trying to help you understand? I'm trying to help you understand what it really is. And God hates it. He tells you that. No flesh, he says it over and over again. No flesh shall absolutely glory in my presence. Your works. And you die. You can't, you aren't God. You're to allow God to be God. Don't get in the way of God being God. Anyway, I think you're getting it every day. It's very sobering. Extremely sobering, because we don't know how we do it. We do it, you see. You see. And if I don't put my suit coat on and dress a little bit, which I do, a little, and then dress a little, God won't bless me when I'm up here today because I haven't got my suit coat on. Got the idea? I tell myself I need to have a suit coat. We're on a special occasion. You don't wear your bond clothes when you go to the state dinner. You dress for the occasion. That's what you're doing. And rightly so. Nothing wrong with that. But I wouldn't for one second count that. The reason God's going to do what he does is because he's God. And I'm going to let God. I have no way I earn any merit in any way, shape, or form. What God does, I have to trust him 1,000,000%. Right now, me plus nothing plus God plus nothing. You have to practice that. And boy, you believe it in all of your heart. There's no way. Do you think of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We goof, it's easy to goof. And what are we to do when we fall down and know it? We're to what? We don't ask for forgiveness, we do what? 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We confess our sins. And then our old nature goes, and now you want to punish yourself for 3 days and feel bad that you did it. I want you to feel bad that you did that. You confessed your sin, and now you just go and dream about it all night, you know, and what you did. I'm helping God, because when I confess my sin, what did God do? Boom. And what do? When you fall down, walking down that aisle, in 1 second, you fix it. Because all I needed to do was get rid of the stupid flesh and look to God, his grace, to take care of this. Do you understand? That I'm going to honor. I'm honoring what I'm just trying to understand. Not by works of the flesh. So I confess my sin. He's done with it. I'm done with it. Or am I? Or am I going to keep going on it? See? I don't want to keep going on it. I'm finished with it. It's done. Now the world, the flesh, religious people, Protestants and Catholics, churches, religious people are being religious right now. On this Lord's Day. And they're happy. But how many are understanding? It isn't one thing about them. It's everything about God in Christ, in you if you're saved, And God's doing what he's doing because he's God. And you're thankful he saves you. He's God. He's your creator. He's your savior. That's wonderful. The works of the flesh, in no way, in no way, shape or form, will help you. God has, so we have to go and look to God. So we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be tricked. Well, what's wrong with it? This sounds reasonable. Yes, it is. You shouldn't have said that. That's true. That's true. But boy, it came out of my dumb mouth. So I confess that I'm done, God. I'm done with it. God loves that, you know. God loves that. Yeah. You say, God, who do you think you are? I'm going to honor God. And I'll gain the smile of God. And so will you when you practice what he told you to. I'm done. I told you never to use it. But God, you're right. Thank you. Back on target. The quicker, the faster, the better. Don't let it sit and sit and sit. Dump it. Dump it into God's wastebasket by way of the cross. And go. Now, we'll see what we get. Ain't got the idea? It's a critical thing, because you'd be surprised how many dear, sincere Christians are working at it and not allowing God to be God. They're trying to do and be. I go to church, I read my Bible, and I give my $10. See? Goody. That doesn't deserve whatever. No. God is going to be gracious. I need to do those things in the right way. Don't get me wrong. I said that. I need to see the Sukkot or something else. I need to do it, confess my sin. But not none of that. All that does is keep me, what, in the grace of God. And in about closing, John, the Gospel of John, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh, is full of grace and truth. And then you go down, just a couple of notches down to verse 16. And the minute you receive Christ as your Savior, who's full of grace, verse 16, and we receive, when I received him, John 1:12, when I received him, the grace of God, verse 16, we received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, endless, endless grace of God. And where does that go? Into God's holy heaven. You're seated at the right hand of God in Christ right now. And Ephesians, turn there, Ephesians 1, 2, 6 and 7. And what are you doing sitting there forever? You're showing the grace of God. That's what you're doing. You're showing, how did you get there? All of God. All of God. And that's why, here today, gone tomorrow. Where is your... No, God, I got it. I'm getting it. It isn't me, God. It's you. And that's... Anyway, you get the idea? I have 2 minutes. The other clock. Where's the other clock? Anyway, you got the idea. So... we'll do that a little bit so you see it. Won't get there. So we have circumcision, which is part of the Jews' system. And you want to be circumcised. And you remember, sliding over chapter 5, we'll go back to this circumcision because that's real helpful in seeing this. Galatians chapter 5, chapter 6 better. Galatians chapter 6, and you remember what they were saying in verse 13, For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised. Why? That you may glory in your flesh. See, I've done what I did, followed the rules, I counted the beads, I did everything, I counted them, I did it. And I gotta quit. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? A new creature. You're brand new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I don't want to hear any more flesh. No more works. It's all that I've done, said God. And you'll be surprised how hard it is to not get rid of those dumb works, because we're counting on them. We're counting on something I did, something I said, and nothing I can say or do makes it. And you have to practice it. And it's easy. I don't do it. I don't think so. I don't do any of that. I don't do anything anyway. So we got the idea. Hope you got a little bit. Thank you.